flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There is breaking Commanders news we'll get to in just a couple of moments. Earl Forsey will have it for you on Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator here in Washington, and his future. There's been a lot of speculation about the Saints wanting to interview him for the last remaining head coaching vacancy. Earl's going to have an update on that in just a moment. But let's get to a quick update on the Capitals and the Beltway Blitz, and then you'll hear what's going on with Cliff Kingsbury in moments on G&D. And to squeeze in some thoughts on the Caps, we got our buddy Mike Vogel of washcaps.com. Vogues, Caps back in action tonight. Five-game road trip continues in Calgary. What do we need to know about the game?
Well, they're taking on a Flames team that's starting a three-game homestand, playing its third game in four nights, fourth game in six nights, so probably a little more road-weary than even the Caps are. They've had Washington's had a little bit of a leisurely portion of the trip here. They had a day off on Sunday. They sat and watched the sad Commanders result, most of them, and then reconvened for a practice yesterday in Vancouver before flying here late yesterday afternoon. And obviously in between, Logan Thompson signed that contract. But tonight, Caps are looking to get back on the winning track. They had their six-game winning streak snapped in Vancouver in a 2-1 loss on Saturday. They have not lost more than two straight games at any point this season. So 13-2 in games immediately following losses, and they'll look to improve on that record here tonight.
Yeah, folks, you mentioned the Logan Thompson contract. Oh, boy, did I love that news. He has been unbleeping believable. How, you know, I don't know how to ask this question better than this, but, you know, if they get this for the next however many seasons he signed for, that's the greatest signing I can remember. How sustainable is this play? He looks unbelievable to me.
Yeah, he's been excellent since the start of the season. He was pretty good last year, too, in a similar role in which, you know, he was sharing the net in Vegas with Aiden Hill. And he just wanted a chance to prove that he was worthy and deserving of a little bit bigger of a portion of the net. And comes to Washington and essentially spends the first half season doing what he had done in Vegas, sharing the net with a different guy, Charlie Lindgren. And but both of those guys have been pretty excellent for the Caps all season, I think. But, you know, Chucky gets dinged. I guess it was a Montreal game on January 10th. That gives Logan a little bit of a run. He takes it, runs with it, pitches a couple of shutouts. Really, nothing different than what he's done all year. He was just doing it in a tight and sustained, you know, he got 6-7 starts in a row, I think, and proved that he could handle that type of a workload. I don't think it's any coincidence that the contract extension comes after that stretch and comes exactly a week after he's named the league's number one star for the week ending, I guess, would have been January 19th. So you look at this contract, it's at 6 years, it's the longest contract ever given to a Caps goaltender.
Wow.
The money is a little bit lighter than Braden Holtby's last contract with the Caps. That deal carried a $6.1 million annual cap hit, but it was only for 5 years. So Logan's total package of 36.1 is the most ever given to a Caps goaltender. But when you look at the percentage of the salary cap that's going to be used by that contract, it's actually a little bit less than Braden Holtby's. I think his came in around 8.5%. Logan's is going to be less than 7%. Right around 6.5%, 6.6%, and that's roughly where Darcy Kemper's contract that the Caps signed him to a couple of years ago comes in as well. So the advantage to me when you look at this is at the end of this deal, Logan Thompson will be 34 years old, and that's the age at which Kemper was when the Caps traded him to Los Angeles for Pierre-Luc Dubois. So Kemper still has a couple of years left on his deal. They get a younger guy. They get a guy with more of his prime years ahead of him. And when you look at, Danny, honestly, when you look at the likely free agent market for goaltenders this summer, it makes a lot of sense that they would jump and sign Logan to this deal now. It's not a banner year come July 1st, if you need a goaltender in the NHL for the upcoming season.
Folks, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
You got it. We were planning on a big, juicy Beltway Blitz, but then news broke right at the top of the hour, so let's bring in our anchor, Earl Forsey, with that news.
Yeah, guys, some breaking sports news concerning the Commanders just in the last few minutes. Jordan Schultz, who's the NFL inside guy for Fox Sports FS1, reporting that Cliff Kingsbury will be staying put as the offensive coordinator in Washington, despite some interest this offseason from New Orleans Saints, some of the other teams looking for new head coaches. Schultz reporting that Cliff Kingsbury, at least for now, isn't going anywhere, will return for a second year as the OC in Washington. Remember, he did sign a 3-year contract when he joined the Commanders last offseason. So that's your breaking sports news. Good news for Commanders fans here in the Fan.
That's about as good an update as we could ask for. And frankly, that's about the best thing Earl Forsey's told us in a breaking news on the Commanders in a long, long time. Cliff Kingsbury, you can make the case, was the second most valuable member of the organization behind Jaden Daniels this year. He designed the offense that worked and hummed. He made Daniels' life better, just like Daniels improved everything that Cliff called and made him right a bunch. And when you hire Dan Quinn, which ended up working very well in year one, establishing the culture, leader of men, brotherhood bits, all that stuff, the risk is your offensive coordinator becomes the hot commodity and walks. And they should now get at least 2 years out of Cliff Kingsbury with him deciding to stay. And they lucked out in this regard. He told all teams at the start of the playoffs, I will not be interviewing until we are eliminated or we win the Super Bowl and our season ends, right? Everyone else kept moving. They were in a rush. You can't potentially get left holding the bag. Mm-hmm. What happens if Kingsbury decides he's not going to leave Washington and you were waiting on him so you didn't get Liam Cohen or Ben Johnson or whoever else you really liked? There's only one opening left. It's probably the worst overall opening. The Saints, who have no quarterback,
yep.
The Saints, who have the worst salary cap situation, they have reached out to and wanted to talk to Cliff Kingsbury. I was told this morning he was considering, as of yesterday, at least doing the interview and seeing what came of it. But he decided he did not want to interview with the Saints, and he is staying put. This is a massive development and a huge deal for the Commanders.
Yeah, he gets to keep making head coach money based on his deal from Arizona, plus his coordinator money in a great situation.
Yeah, remind people on that element of this from the Cardinals.
So I think that's the essential thing. It's something I didn't quite grasp when he was hired, and it's kind of come clear to me down the stretch. So he signed an extension with the Arizona Cardinals that pays him through, I believe, 2027.
28 is what I read. He's got 3 seasons after this where he still gets paid.
So he gets to be very, very choosy. In other words, he's still getting his head coach money, and he's got the responsibility of a coordinator. Now, that doesn't mean he gets to slouch off. He gets to work at 3 o'clock in the morning, but you don't have the full team panoramic to worry about, even though I think his role as offensive coordinator was almost coordinator plus, where it's like, hey, Cliff, score but not too fast, score and move the ball, but it's got to take at least 10 plays and 7 minutes off the clock, even though we're tempoing this and that and whatever. So the thing that I have hammered, I don't know how strongly you feel about it. I get the sense not as much as me. I need as much continuity as possible for my rookie quarterback. Now he's no longer a rookie. He finished his first
year.
That's
the whole reason I hated the Quinn hire. What do you mean I don't agree?
Well, to me, like I think the challenge is so great and so difficult for guys to just succeed in the NFL that changing horses midstream, even if it's just the same voice within the building, even if they'd elevated elevated Johnson, the pass game coordinator they got from Philly, or moved David Blau up the ranks, or Tavita Pritchard, or whatever, I think the same voices, everybody same at the table as much as humanly possible to keep everything equal as defenses now adjust for you when the challenge becomes that much greater with a target on your back instead of people seeing you for the first time, changing OCs and everything else that goes with it, I think is you're putting another hurdle in front of somebody where this thing is already so damn hard as it is.
Yeah, the best way to stunt your quarterback's development is to change offenses frequently early in their career or to change voices in their head, Randy Orton style. I hear voices in my head. Rini knows all about that. You need that continuity early on. I'm going to be worried and upset next offseason when they lose Cliff Kingsbury and they go to Brian Johnson, who called plays for the Eagles and was run out of Philadelphia. And hopefully he'll be really good in that role if that's who they go to. The guy I'm actually really intrigued by is David Blau, who supposedly designed some of the concepts that worked this year, including the touchdown to Crowder to beat the Eagles on a play that he liked from his days playing in the league recently. Like, he is a super interesting name to monitor. I also think there's a possibility, and Quinn talked about this, so did Peters yesterday in their presser, you could lose a guy like David Blau to be a pass game coordinator somewhere this year. You could lose a guy like David Blau to be an offensive coordinator. Like, I'm surprised Ben Johnson, as an example, who hired a 28-year-old random dude from Denver to be his OC, like, why Blau wouldn't have been maybe of interest there. But it's not like these guys can't be picked off by other organizations. So it's possible that Kingsbury won't have all of Pritchard, Johnson, and Blau in the building in September of next year, right? And then he walks and maybe one or two of those guys is back. And when he takes the head coaching job next year with the Giants, let's say, who have the number one pick and are taking a quarterback, and he brings Brian Johnson with him to be his offensive coordinator and maybe his play caller, maybe he'll call plays. So now two of those guys are in New York, but Blau's in Chicago, and it's, all of a sudden it's like, well, we had all these guys, but they leave in bunches, right? So that's my concern. Those are my nerves. That's my anxiety. But to at least have 2 years without rocking the boat majorly,
I think that's massive.
It's such a big deal. Like, I am elated by this news. This is awesome to me. Now, not surprising. A month ago, I would have been a little bit surprised, but you and I have talked about this a lot. I've said all along, really the last several weeks, I thought Cliff was staying. The moment he told teams, I'm not interviewing till after the season ends, that is a tell about your aggressiveness, your interest, your desperation, right? That's the opposite of I need a head coaching job, Cologne. That's a stay away from me for now thing. Joe Witt didn't do that. I'm not knocking him. I have no problem with what he did. But Joe Witt went and interviewed with the Jets in the middle of the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he's never been a head coach before, because he hasn't gotten many interviews, because he's not making head coach salaried money for the next 3 years, and he wants a head coaching job. Cliff Kingsbury was one of the few guys. You don't see that often. Do you remember other guys? I'm sure they've done it, but not here certainly, who have said, I will not be accepting interviews until the playoffs are over, a.k.a. until all the openings are mostly filled, because they don't wait. Teams don't wait.
Yeah,
you're already saying there's maybe only one or two jobs I would take anyway, but I'm going to wait until after most jobs are filled.
You're all but taking yourself out of the running. Right. Yeah, so I was wrong about this.
The only job that's the worst one to offer people is left, right?
Yeah, I was wrong about this. I thought that the iron was hot, and even with his backdrop of the Arizona money coming his way, and you just never know what's going to happen. I mean, look at Bobby Slowick in Houston, for goodness sake. Went from darling of the league getting head coaching interviews to, we're not so sure about that guy anymore. So I thought that he would go just because you're a competitor at that level. But I was wrong. And once he made that announcement, I think you're right, that was kind of the writing on the wall. Even though at a press conference, he said, he didn't shut down head coach talk.
No, he wants to be a coach again.
He wants to do it.
He has acknowledged that.
He's biding his time.
I think the fact, though, you started with this, and it's so true. He makes, I believe it's 3 straight years from now, if he wanted to, head coaching money. And he double dips as a coordinator. If you take a head coaching job, you give up the head coaching money from Arizona. So he is, I'm just making up numbers, but let's say potentially he's making, you know, $6 or $7 million per year from the Cardinals, and then he's making another $1-1.5 million in Washington. You would have to go get a job for like $10 million a year to be getting a sizable raise than what you're making right now, mm-hmm. which I think you'd be asking for to leave a good situation, less stress, worse quality of life, you know, in terms of the next job,
yep.
more hours, more pressure, more press conferences, a lot of the stuff he doesn't love. You get to do all the stuff you like, very little of the stuff you don't like, and you're working with maybe a top 5 or 7 quarterback in the NFL moving forward right now who's going to make you look smarter and better than you are potentially. I'm going to give all that up so that I can
go fix a bad situation,
make equal money to maybe fail. Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
And if I do, I'll never get a head coaching job again. So he needs to take a great job. He needs to wait. Like, let's say the Bengals next year lose enough games that either they don't make the playoffs or they're one and done in the playoffs. They're a wild card team and they lose in the first round and they blow out Zach Taylor. Now Kingsbury is a hot candidate after 2 straight good years of offense with Daniels, and you get to go be Joe Burrow's head coach in Cincinnati. You make the jump, right? If the Bills fire Sean McDermott after next season because they don't get to the Super Bowl or whatever, now you get to go coach Josh Allen. Like, those are the types of jobs when you're getting the money coming in that he has, plus you have Daniels, who now you feel like is special, that it's going to take to pry him away, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not the Raiders, whatever they are. It's not the Saints disaster, as you said. That's one of the worst situations. It's a great city and town, but that organization kind of mortgaged the future a bunch of times, and now the Bills do, right? Where they don't have much talent, everybody's old, the roster stinks, and they're in salary cap hell. That's not a great place to coach right now.
You know what job I was told? I had heard 2 jobs that were interesting to keep an eye on for Kingsbury, and this is probably like 6 weeks ago. One was Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing Trevor Lawrence. Maybe he liked him a lot coming out or something. I don't know. But this person told me that he might want that Jacksonville job. The other was interesting because I didn't think it was ever going to be open, especially when they ended up making the playoffs. But I had this conversation with a few weeks left in the year. The Bucks with Mayfield, who I don't think he coached in college. Right?
I thought he did, didn't he?
Was he at
Texas Tech before he went to Oklahoma?
Maybe he would have, actually.
Did they cross over?
Yeah, maybe they did. But regardless, he was linked to the Bucks and maybe have an interest with Mayfield and calling plays and being head coach there. Now, obviously, they got right. Bowles, again, did a pretty good job and was hanging around. But there were like rumors maybe that, who knows, if he retired or they tried to move on to Liam Cohen or whatever, that maybe Kingsbury could get interviews there. But as soon as Jacksonville hired Cohen, Tampa didn't open. And the vacancies and the openings were what they were. It felt to me like Chicago was a good job that he might take. Otherwise, I didn't really see it. Like, unless he loves Las Vegas and, you know, wants to live in Nevada, and I just don't know enough about Cliff Kingsbury, that wasn't that great of a job. Like, where are you going, man?
Because it wasn't a great slate of openings this year. He did coach Mayfield at Texas Tech for a year, by the way.
Okay.
I looked that up. But yeah, I mean, as you look at the landscape,
because it was right before Kyler.
That's right.
Yeah.
You look at the landscape and you look at the different options. And I was talking about this with rookie quarterbacks. You're usually, if you're drafted in the top 5 or 6 or 7 or even 10, you're usually not going to a place that's great. The rare exceptions have been Ben Roethlisberger going to an excellent organization in Pittsburgh, Flacco first round pick going to Baltimore. They were always really good. Mahomes going to a perennial playoff team in Kansas City. So it's usually, hey man, everything's broken. Could you fix it all? And kind of the similar deal with a head coach, right? Where you're inheriting someone else's mess and a general manager that, you know, is trying to, you know, save their gig at the same time by trying out a shiny new toy. So it would have to be a more perfect situation. The thing that I was wrong about more than Ron Rivera star, more so than anything else, was these guys and their unbelievable ego, competitive, whatever. They're such alphas. They're different than you and I. Is they would look at a situation and I would go, man, that's broken. And they'd go, that's just a challenge. That's just something I'm going to overcome. I'm so good at this that I'll be able to be the one that fixes it. And I thought that would win. But this was a smart play by him, to be honest with you.
Totally.
It's probably easy. You're making more money than 99% of these first-time head coaches because you got your OC salary, probably one of the more higher paid guys, plus your extension from Arizona.
I bet he's not making more than the guys getting hired this year because the money's just jumped so much. I mean, you got to go back to 4 years ago, probably. You know, he's starting from a Well, the extension was then, but his salary was even years before that. But regardless, the point is you're making awesome money to do way less work and have a way more enjoyable lifestyle. If it's true, what I've been told, that he doesn't really enjoy like the press conference media relationship part of being a head coach. He just wants to coach ball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then an OC is a good thing for you.
Yeah.
But he's acknowledged he does want to be a head coach again, and maybe that happens in a year. But let's open up the phones. I want to get your reactions to this news. It's huge. Cliff Kingsbury's coming back, according to Fox Sports. He will not be taking an interview with the Saints. That is the only opening left. So barring something unforeseen and stunning, Kingsbury's going to have a second season with Jaden Daniels, which, in addition to just making life easier on Daniels and the continuity that comes with the coach-play-caller relationship for year two, I think it's significant because it gives Washington one more year to prepare whoever under him hopefully is going to take over for him if he were to walk likely next season, which you'd have to imagine is a real possibility after the way things trended this year. 800-636-1067 is the number. The news right now on Grant and Danny, Cliff Kingsbury's coming back for a second season with the Commanders.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season two. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, welcome back. Thank you for making the show part of your day. It is official. Cliff Kingsbury will return to the Commanders for a second season as their OC with Jaden Daniels. This according to Jordan Schultz with the news from Fox Sports, their NFL insider. Now, just working back from about a week ago, I don't think this should be a surprising news story to anyone. This is not stunning. The only job left when Cliff was eligible to start interviewing based on his own self-imposed non-interview period was a Saints job that it didn't seem like made any sense for him to leave for. So I would say the chance that he was leaving as of the moment Washington got eliminated against the Eagles had gone from on the final day of the regular season, let's say like 40 to 45%, down to maybe 5%. That he would take the Saints job.
I think that's right.
But here's what I left open to possibility. If the Bills fired Sean McDermott and just stunned everybody, and we found that out today, well, all of a sudden he gets interviewed. That's a job he probably wants. He's probably the best available offensive guy to link up with Josh Allen. Like something like that could happen. So I wasn't willing to just completely rule out any possibility that he was not leaving, but it seemed like a long shot. It seemed like almost a certainty once the other jobs like Jacksonville with Cohen, Chicago with Johnson, were filled. This was a formality. But to hear today that it's official that the Commanders are essentially being told he's coming back by Kingsbury himself, that is now, you can put it in Sharpie, put it in pen, one of the big building blocks of this offseason falling into place.
I think that's well put. Just because it's expected doesn't make it, you know, not a huge deal, right? Just because this made a lot of sense, it now turned into, the fact that it's big news, right? So it looks like when the writing's on the wall, you're going 2 + 2 = and we're sitting here waiting, and then they're like, we're making an announcement. The answer is 4. And we're like, yes. Doesn't mean it's not newsworthy, though. I think you're right. It's a massive deal. And I've seen some people, I met Funny Danny, Grant's at Grant H. Paulson, downplaying it to a degree because of how special Daniels is. And Daniels' excellence and proficiency in what he just put together doesn't change regardless of who the coordinator is. My point is there are already enough challenges. This is the drum I keep beating. It's already so hard. Again, I'll keep pointing to it. Look at C.J. Stroud. Look at guys that were as can't-miss surefire as anybody else. Trevor Lawrence was the number one pick for 4 years, basically, as he's leading Clemson to natty title games and was unbelievable. Just hasn't turned in great work yet. They haven't been able to unlock it other than one season out of his handful in the league. It's really, really hard to do this. It's hard to be consistent. So keeping the same beautiful garden of surroundings around your outstanding player should be as a higher priority as you possibly can for an organization. And to a degree, I think maybe they lucked out and they also, found themselves in a good situation. They found a guy that is playing a heady, smart game in terms of Kingsbury and this sort of young staff that they're trying to build around him, both Daniels and Kingsbury, to basically be able to say, here are some heir apparents on the staff. Even if he takes a couple with him, we'll be able to promote. I'm just making this up. If he takes Tavita Pritchard and Brian Johnson, we'll be able to promote David Blau in 2 years. And he'll have his own sort of network of assistants. There are other young guys that we're training up. That's the idea, and it's worked out here for a second year.
I want to go back to something you just said. You talked about fans who have kind of downplayed whether Cliff stays or not, because Jaden's the whole point. He's all that matters. I think they have a dramatic misunderstanding of how much scheme matters offensively, how much the relationship, especially for a young quarterback, but the relationship between quarterback and coordinator, quarterback and play caller matters. Is Caleb Williams immensely talented?
Yes.
The guy that went first overall in the draft? The guy that's got mobility and play extension and the propensity to create and the arm strength out the wazoo? He did not have a very good offensive season, rookie year. Part of the reason is operator error. He held onto the ball. He did some of these things. But everything he did poorly is, to some extent, about coaching and him having been set up to fail, essentially, with the Shane Waldron hire and dismissal, and with the fact that he went through, I think, three play callers and two offensive coordinators this year. That's a disaster for a rookie quarterback. It is a one-way ticket to ruining a young player's development. The antithesis of that is what Washington had, a very harmonious, easy, seamless, fluid transition where there's one voice in your ear constantly. You're working with the same guy who gets in at 3 a.m. every single day. Oh, by the way, and I had my issues with some of the schematic stuff that Cliff did over the years in Arizona, but a revered offensive mind who has coached some of the great college quarterbacks in the country that have gone early in the draft, who has coached good NFL quarterbacks as well. What percentage would you say of Jaden Daniels' rookie year excellence is Jaden, and what percentage is Cliff if you had to just divvy it up those two ways?
Well, great question.
Because like you said, there's fans that'll say 95-5, and I think they're out to lunch.
So,
like, this is 60-40 to me. You know, this is,
yeah.
I could be, you know, if Cliff leaves and Jaden goes ham with the next guy, okay, I'll bump it up. But right now, this moment, coaching, scheming, especially with the weaponry they didn't have at receiver, it's everything. Like, Kingsbury, I'm serious when I say this. I really believe you can make the case he's the second most important person in the entire building this year from when that ball was kicked in the air in week one until the end of the season.
So I'd have it a little bit higher, but I think your point stands. In other words, like, to me, there's nothing about scheme where it's nobody's open, it's 4th and 11, he runs for 29 yards. That's not Kingsbury doing anything.
That happens sometimes.
That's the special kid.
Most of the time, that's not how it was going.
Of course not. And the fact that the best case is chicken salad out of leftovers from other teams. Their second best receiver was cut by Houston. Their third best receiver had 5 catches 2 years ago here, had 12 last year. You know, whoever you want to give the credit to. Zacchaeus couldn't make Philadelphia's roster, et cetera. And you got pretty good offensive results. Not pretty good, excellent offensive results out of those guys. It's probably to me 65-35, but I think the point stands. He's instrumental. And I don't want to change that. I don't want to risk that 35% with an unknown. It might turn out you find someone as good or better. I don't like entering that territory. Continuity is great when you got the right thing.
Let's go to Musa in Falls Church, home of the Jaguars. How's it going? What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Home of the Jaguars. I live right next to Falls Church High School. I like that.
Yeah, man.
It's a beautiful facility.
it really is, man. They're redoing the school. I'm right there with you guys. First of all, thanks for taking my call. I would say 70-30 because, look, you call in the plays, right? And he's a hell of a play caller, Kingsbury. And by the way, going back to the initial question, to me it was a no-brainer that he was going to come back. I mean, you're asking this guy pretty much, do you want to stay with Jaden Daniels in this organization that clearly is on the rise? You had a phenomenal season. Or do you want to go to New Orleans where there are just too many uncertainties? They got no quarterback. That's a rebuilding organization, in my mind. Since Drew Brees left, they have not been the same. Not even close.
Totally. And so, they have a bad cap situation. But what if he was willing to interview earlier and he was a candidate for the Bears or the Jags with Caleb Williams or Trevor Lawrence? I think that would be a whole different conversation.
I still think he would have stayed. He had such a great connection with Jaden Daniels. You see it on the field, man. And again, going back to that second question, I'd say 70-30. He plays, he's the play caller. He puts it in. A lot of times you could see the plays. It was just good defense. But Jaden made something out of nothing. And, you know, he would always look at his checkdowns. You know, it's so hard to bring the kid down. And he's so tough. Times he'd get hit, the kid just jumps right back up, man.
Yeah, that was probably one of the things this year that impressed me most, that I liked the most about Daniels, was the toughness and just the hopping right back up with a big smile
and laughing and telling the guy nice
on
job.
The helmet, yeah. That just destroyed you. It's a good phone call. I think he would have left for the Bears job with Caleb Williams, because the thing is, when you get a second job as a head coach. Mm-hmm. You're not getting a third one if you fail. You've got to pick a team where you like the quarterback situation. And a 1-1 quarterback from a year ago with that much talent, if you're Kingsbury and you know how good you are as an offensive coordinator, you've got to think you can make that work. I'm not as convinced about Trevor Lawrence. Supposedly he liked Lawrence a little bit. But when he leaves, he's going to leave to go coach a Pro Bowl type quarterback. Because there's no reason to leave Daniels otherwise.
Yeah, there's no rush.
800-636-1067. News of the day from Fox Sports. Cliff Kingsbury's not taking an interview with the Saints. That means he's coming back. What do you think? We're Grant and Danny. Our weekly appointment with Austin Eckler is about 10 minutes away at 5 o'clock. We'll ask him about his coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, coming back for a second year in D.C. That's the news from Fox Sports. He is not going to be accepting an interview the New Orleans Saints wanted him to take for their head coaching job. And that's the only gig available right now. So Kingsbury, understandably and correctly probably, choosing Washington, Jaden Daniels, having another run at positioning himself to get one of the top jobs next year over going to the Saints. Let's go to the phones. Don's in Ashburn on G&D. What's up, Don?
Oh, my God. What a breath of fresh air. You know, normally these coordinators have their cars running in the parking lot all fueled up and just waiting for that next destination to get out of here. But, you know, it's nice that we don't have a situation where it's, you know, going to be the second or the third coordinator in the second or third year of the quarterback's tenure here. And more importantly, I think, is that, you know, now that Kingsbury has really got a good idea of what Jaden can do athletically and just with the ball in his hands, it's just going to make for a better year two, because he's really going to have a chance to go back and look at what plays worked, really well, and then design things off of those along with using them. I just, all around, this is great news.
Appreciate you,
Thank you, buddy.
Let's go to Ian in Vienna on Grant and Danny. Ian, Kingsbury's coming back. What do you think?
Zero. I mean zero impact. If he left, the over-under total wouldn't win. The outlook wouldn't change. None of it. Have we not gone through this a thousand times? Adam Gase, Josh McDaniels, Eric Bieniemy, all these guys, Ken Dorsey. It doesn't matter. If you have the right quarterback, that's all that matters, not 99%, 100%. We go through this all the time where we get this coordinator or that coordinator is going to make a difference. They get a head coaching job, goes nowhere. They return back. See Matt Nagy in Kansas City or Bieniemy, whatever happened to him. Look, I'm not here to say Kingsbury's not good or not bad, but when a team wins, there's a desire to distribute glory everywhere. Oh, you know who it was? It was the special teams guy. Oh, you know who it was? It was John Paxson. No, it's all about Jaden Daniels. Dan Quinn is the guy who got his whatever smoked in the last game he played with the Cowboys. Cliff Kingsbury was fired from Arizona because his quarterback hated him. I think
well, in fairness, that quarterback's a pain in the butt, and his teammates weren't that fond of him either. Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Ian.
Ian's great. He has strong opinions, and I love that he listens. There's no caller that I disagree with more often than that guy. I've got him muted on Twitter. He's a nice person. He really is. But he's got the tact of a sledgehammer on Twitter. And I'll tweet out that Alex Ovechkin scored a goal, and he's like, he's the worst, most overrated goal scorer ever. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, the Nats just won 7 straight games. He's like, they'll lose their next game, and they suck. Like, that's how I would describe him. He's a nice person. And I've hung out with him a little bit at events. I know mm-hmm. your boy's with him.
Yeah.
And, like, he's a good dude. And, like, I like Ian a lot. But we are oil and water on sports takes, I will say that. So just as an aside, I categorically disagree with the idea that the coordinator that designed their offense had zero to do with their success as they went from 24-7 this year. Now, if you're asking me, is Jaden Daniels the biggest reason for that renaissance? Obviously, the answer is yes. But there are young, talented quarterbacks all the time that don't hit the ground sprinting, that aren't in good situations. For me to believe what he's saying, I would have to then think that coaching matters zero, which is what he's suggesting, and that designing an offense and play calling matters zero. Forgive me for just disagreeing with that.
Yeah, so there's no way to prove this, obviously, but if we assume or if we believe that Caleb Williams has some ability, which I do still, by the way, then that was his fault up there in Chicago, why it didn't work out with the receivers and the different designs and things and decisions. So, I mean, the thing that I always end up arguing against in general, by the way, with it just being in this seat and in this role, are the people that always want to say it's one thing. Whichever side they're on.
Yeah, that's so
right?
True.
It's like if you're way over there and you can't see me on YouTube, you're on that side. I'm going, well, there's some nuance here. Hold on. And the people are going, well, the other side, no, it's the opposite. I'm going, well, there's some nuance here. My point is it's never just the one thing. So the idea that the offensive coordinator had nothing to do with their offense being good, hard for me to swallow.
Right.
The idea that it was, you know, all Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels was just a video game character and a puppet, also probably hard for me to swallow. You don't see many of those guys arguing that point, though, but you see the point I'm making.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, love that he listens. Love his passion. I like that he calls. Every show needs an Ian in Vienna. But, man, the next time he calls in and I'm like, me and you are seeing eye to eye on this, might be the first.
Dude, he's got to just drop a take that like he knows you like.
At some point.
Like, he'll call tomorrow and be like, you know who's great? It's Drake May.
I'm just like, headed to the Pro Bowl, by the way. Good for the kid.
Yes.
I'll have to send one to you next time. But, like, batting 1,000 on just yucking my yum on social media. Like, whatever the thing is that I'm talking about, just the complete opposite. Like, it's just comical. It's just, like, the Capitals will never win because they just won Alex Ovechkin, get his record. Well, now they're the best team in hockey, have rebuilt, and Ovi would win a Rocket Richard if he didn't miss time with an injury. But now he needs to be tested or this or it's always something. But 100-0, Cliff Kingsbury, irrelevant to the whole season. That is an interesting take. That is a fun one. Let's talk to Austin Eckler next. He is a very talented veteran running back who helped Washington turn their season around. I'm sure he's got a thought on Cliff Kingsbury. We'll get it from him next on Grant and Danny.